Amen. I appreciate obedience tonight. I just want to tell you, church, unless we learn to be obedient to the Spirit of God, we'll never go very far with Him. And worship is like that. Worship, there is an aspect of spontaneous, I wanted to say spontaneousness, I don't guess that's a word. You're going to have to learn to be obedient. Now, let me tell you what just happened. Through the obedience of one, two or three others came and prayed. It's just how it works. It's how it works. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you, Sister Sharon, for that very reason. She'll worship if nobody else is. She's going to worship if she can. If she can get under the spout, she's going to do that. And my, that's so necessary and needful in this thing of serving the Lord. Yeah. God bless you. Yes, amen, sister. Amen. I hope that's where you're at tonight, just where she's at. Well, let me just wait a minute. Has everybody been obedient? I really don't. I wouldn't care if it just broke out tonight, to be honest with you, but I'm going to preach if it doesn't, if the Lord will help me.
Well, didn't you say you're full and I've been so far behind because everything's been wrong? We've been in Revelation talking about the tribulation. The guy said the other night, he said, "Oh, you're getting from me. Oh, God, I'll be gone. I'm failing in what I'm doing. And your heart will be broken over what the mother is still going to be here. I'm just so mean, and I'm saying that the Lord can't let me stay in it. Oh, my God."
Yeah, amen. Yes. Amen. Folks, we're really not broken for sinners like we need to be. It's just the facts of it. I'll tell you what'll help you. I'll tell you what's helped me. Start praying for them. I've been praying. Jennifer, I've been praying for your family. And the Lord just kind of broke my heart. Good people, just kind of sideways, is the way I like to say it. Just start praying for sinners. See what the Lord does for you. Anybody else need to obey the Lord tonight?
Pastor, I'm just thankful I've got access to the Lord's praise.
Yeah, amen.
Can you call the Lord?
Yeah, amen, Joseph. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Lord, for saving
me. Amen, Nick. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for giving me mercy and grace even when I messed up.
Yeah, amen, Ben. God bless you. Amen, Jordan. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saying me. I thank what we serve, powerful God.
Yeah, amen, Brady. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, you go ahead, Missy. Missy's going to take her a walk here. Anybody else while Missy's making her a little wall. Want to brag on their Savior.
Saved me
from
not
passing
anything
done
in my life.
Yeah, amen.
I'm yeah. Thank you for his church. Raising a family here in this church, it means a lot.
Yeah,
thank you for being obedient.
Yes, amen.
Thank you for the person Jesus. Thank you so much for it. I take it for granted so much. Just thankful to be here.
Yeah, amen. Praise God. Genesis chapter number 3. Everybody's been obedient. Church, here's where I get sometimes. I get a burden for a particular text, I guess. I don't know. Today my burden was God's people taking the Word of God light. That was really the burden of my heart. It was just eating at me. And I know that's because the devil tempts us to do that. We're tempted to. Well, if you won't take it so hard, here's the path you can go. Here's the reward you can get. If you don't just take it at full face value, if you'll just kind of be lukewarm about it, here's what you can have. It'll get you off the path. That's really been my burden, but when I get on that, sometimes I might spend too much time. I don't know. I don't want to apologize for preaching. I don't want to do that. I couldn't hardly quit this morning. I realized I was way too lengthy, or felt like I was. I understand folks can just absorb so much. I know that. I have sat in services where I was saying amen and shaking my head, and I wasn't hearing the thing that was being said. I'd been in maybe a meeting all day, and I was just, if I could say it, numb, so to speak. And so, I'm very much aware of our limitations and our frailties. But at the same time, I have to preach what the Lord gives. And I felt like that's what he gave me this morning. But there's so much more in that text. I mean, there's just, and all of you, probably every preacher in here could stand up without studying much at all and give us truth out of this particular text. I think the great truth, there's several truths. It shows us the fall of man, the origin of sin. We could say that. On planet Earth, sin came to Earth first through the fall of Satan, first through the rebellion of Satan, then the fall of man, and that's why we're sinners today. That's just how it is. But I want to read to you just a verse, and maybe the Lord. I'm going to try to preach from this again tonight. Maybe teach from it. I don't know. But I want to give you just a few little truths, because really, here's what I know. The devil's coming. He's coming in your life to attack. And I understand he's not omnipresent. He has to use his little devils, his principalities or his powers or some of those things. I understand that. But really, he's at the root of it. He's at the root. He's at the root of that thing. And sometimes it's your flesh. I understand that. We give the devil credit, and it's nothing more than our wicked flesh. But the devil will use your flesh against you. And so I'm just saying, this thing's all about a warfare between God and the devil and God's people. And if you're saved and you're one of God's children, you're automatically the enemy of the devil, and he hates you. He hates you. I don't think we realize that very often, that the ferociousness, I don't know what word I need to use to just say how terrible he is. But if he could cut your child's throat, the devil would stand back and laugh about it. He would laugh about it. If he could send your child to hell, he would stand back and
slap his thigh, and belly laugh over your child going to hell. That's the wickedness of our adversary. If he can split your home up, he'll sit back and make a joke about it. That's the devil. And take great delight in your calamity. And so, I think one of the truths we can draw from chapter 3 is some truths about the devil, how he works, and just see some little truths there. You can go to Matthew 4, Jesus' temptations in the wilderness, draw about the same truths. He goes through the same thing. He approaches through the avenue of the flesh and through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You see him in both texts, and you can just... And you need to learn about your adversary. If you were going to fight somebody, you'd want to know what kind of adversary he was. You'd want to know if he had a gun or a knife, or if he was just going to try to punch. You'd want to know if he was quick, or if he was strong and slow, or quick and fast. And that would help you. And I think we need to study some of these truths for that reason. And I think, really, I think where the devil's got us, a lot of God's people, he's not got you, he's not led you into fornication, he's not led you into thievery or drunkenness or some of those sins we might look on more strongly than others, but he's kindly watered us down. He has led us to take the Scriptures, tempted us to take the Scriptures lightly, because the Scriptures will change your life. It will change your life, and it will change your life in such a way that it goes against your flesh. That's what the Scriptures do. Here's what I say. Many of God's people, it's been years since they've let the Scriptures change who they were. It's been years. But the Scriptures, when allowed to do, when you take the Scriptures seriously, it will change you, and it'll change you for the good. Paul said in 2 Corinthians verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, Paul said they were not ignorant, but I believe a lot of God's people are ignorant today. I believe that. I believe they're ignorant of the adversary. And I believe a lot of folks are defeated. They get out of church because they don't understand a lot of the things that bring offense is generated by the devil. It's generated by the devil. And so we're going to come to Genesis chapter number 3 tonight. And if the devil can get you out of church, he's got you. He has you where he wants you. Did you know? And I've said these things so many times, but it's just the burden on my heart. You watch the National Geographic Explorers, and the lion charges the herd, and then he swerves at the last minute, and he comes back, and maybe comes over here, and he charges, and the herd will move just a little bit this way. You've all seen that. But sooner or later, what happens? You know exactly, I've told you numerous times, there'll be one little weakling will stray off from the fog. Isn't that right? And who does the lion go after then? That one that's isolated from the flock. And that's what he tries to do with the child of God. If he can get you out of church, he's got you. If he can get you taking the Scriptures lightly, he has you. You're just lukewarm. You're just playing church. And so that's been the burden of my heart, and it's still the burden of my heart. I believe this. I believe God's people today. I'm throwing myself in there. I believe we take the Scripture way too lightly. I believe that. And I believe if we're going to go on, somebody's going to have to say this. This is what God said. This is what God wants out of my life. And this is what I'm going to attempt to do. Now, I believe it's that simple. And I don't know in these days, there may not be anybody interested in operating like that. I believe that's what's got to happen. But I want to look for just a few minutes, and I'll try my best. I will try my very best
not to just be extremely lengthy tonight, but we talked this morning about the adversary. He always camouflages himself, makes himself look many times like he's spiritual, like he's on God's side, much like the wheat and tares. The tares look like the wheat, so you can't separate. And so the devil, he has a way of mimicking God's crowd. He mimics God's crowd. And then we saw the attack, and again, he said, yea, hath God said. In other words, did God really say this? Is this what God said? Is this what He wants from you? I mean, is it really so that God doesn't want you to eat of the trees? And of course, you know, we spent much time on that. Yea, hath God said. He'll say that to you sometimes. Is that really what the Bible wants? Is that what the Lord's saying? You ought to present your body a living sacrifice. You ought to seek the kingdom of heaven first and foremost. And that goes good till something gets in the way. Something gets in the way. And then when something gets in the way, we say this, well, is that really what the Lord was saying? Well, I think it is. And so we talked about that. And then we said this, the serpent played dumb with Eve. I mean, he knew what God said. I mean, when the Lord spoke to Adam in chapter 2 and verse 17, He said, thou shalt surely die. When Eve was repeating what God's instructions were, she didn't say surely die. But when the serpent responded to Eve in verse 4, what word did he use? Surely. Where did he get that word? Can I tell you, he heard what God said to Adam. He knew what God said. He was playing games when he said, you shall not eat of every tree. He knew what tree they were not to eat of. He was lying right there. That's his nature right there. He had a purpose. And we said he was trying to present an enticement to Eve that would pull her away from God, and indeed he did just that. And so we established those truths this morning. But tonight I just kind of want to go back to the text. I'm not even going to read it this evening, and may not preach long at all. But I want you to see just a few more things from the text that we didn't get to, and I have another message, and I fully intended to preach that today, but maybe another time. In verse number 2 and 3, here's what Eve said, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I don't know. Maybe God did say that, but I don't see anywhere where it said, if you touched it, you're going to die. It's as if Eve added to the Scripture, as many of us do sometimes. We have a tendency to add to the Scripture and maybe leave out some things. Maybe Adam told her, lest you surely die. And maybe it just slipped from her. I don't know. Maybe he failed to tell her. But she left out some things and she added some things. And we have to be careful about that and be sure we're letting the Word of God dictate our life. You see, I'm afraid we don't place the value on the Word of God that we need to. I'm afraid some may have knows it's God's Word and they read it and they see what it says, but they never really go far enough to allow it to help them. I think it's Psalm 119. I'm going to turn over there and read it to you, and you don't have to unless you just want to. But in Psalm 119, and of course we know that's the chapter on the Word of God, or one of the largest chapter on the Word of God in the Bible. But in verse number 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Here's the question. How's a man going to clean up his life? How is it? Here you are, you've got sin. Would we be fair to say we all wrestle with sin? Would that be a fair statement? How are you going to clean it up? How is it you're going to practice practical holiness in a greater manner? Well, I think we have it here. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And here's what it said, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Here's the answer. Here's what's going to help you going on with God, by heeding the word of God. Well, that's really not rocket science, is it? I mean, that's really not something a preacher that's preached to a church for 17 years ought to need to be preaching to them. But can I tell you, I think everybody needs to hear that. I think we need to hear that. In verse number 11 of the Psalm 119, the psalmist said this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Well, preacher, I don't want to sin against the Lord. I want to finish right. Have you hid the Word of God in your heart? You parents say, I want to raise godly kids and I want them to live holy lives. Are you having them memorize Scripture? Are you hiding the Word of God in their heart? You say, well, how is it? How is it that we keep from sinning against the Lord? Hide the Word of God in your heart. That's really not complicated. Can I tell you? I'd like to write a book sometime, maybe I will, on the simplicity of the Christian life. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand the truth of God's Word. But Steve, it's not that hard. In fact, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's pretty simple. And so here's what I'm trying to say. Eve had a limited knowledge of God's Word. She really didn't have it exactly right. She just didn't have it. And so that made her a candidate for an attack by the devil. And all I'm saying to you, you need some knowledge of the Word of God. If we raise these children up out here and they get 18 years of age and they have none of the Word of God down in their heart, I want to tell you, we failed. Sunday school teachers, you failed. Pastor, you failed. That's just how it is. We can't make them live right, but can I tell you, we can get the Word of God in their heart and give the Holy Ghost something He can use on them when they stray from God. Amen. And when they're tempted. Now, He's tempted, but she doesn't have the Word of God down exactly right. And she's got some of it. And she's got a little, she's got partial truth. She has half truth. And I want to tell you, half truth is dangerous. Most cults have been formed from truth out of context. That's right, I'm telling you right tonight. Most cults have come from that. And so here's all I'm trying to say. Don't take the Word of God lightly. I'm saying if God says it, do it. Hide it in your heart. Let it clean you up. When it shows you you're dirty, you're not lined up, find you a place, repent, get right with God, and line up by the Word of God. That's our hope. That's our hope. And if you only have partial truth and you're not, every one of you, now listen, I know there's different measures of grace. I know every one of you, we could all read the same chapter and we'd all get different things out of it. And I'm aware of that. But can I tell you what every one of us ought to be? Students of the Word. That don't go over too well, because when you're my age, 60 years old, sometimes the flesh doesn't want to be a student. It knows all it wants to know. I want to tell you, you need to be a student of this Word of God if you're 90 years old. Because there's profitability, spiritual profitability in it. You have to have it. You have to have it. And so here she is. She doesn't know. She doesn't have it down right. And then I want you to notice what the serpent does. In verse 4, and the serpent said unto her, to the woman. Now, first of all, he has tried to take the word of God lightly. Yay, has God said that? Oh, yeah, is that what God said? Is that what the scripture? Oh, yeah. Well, what does it really mean? But now I want you to notice how he advances. He finds out the woman doesn't know a whole lot. I think that's what he finds out. And he says unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Here's what he said, God lied to you. Now God did say you're going to surely die in chapter 17, but the serpent says you shall not surely die. And I want to tell you, God's word is opposed by people today. It's opposed. It's opposed by religion today. The Jehovah Witness says there's no hell. Well, the Bible says there is. The Catholics say the priest can pray you out of purgatory into heaven. Find that in the Bible. I can't find it in the Bible. It says they say we ought to pray to Mary. I can't find that in the Bible. I mean, what they're saying, our Bible, what they're saying is our Bible's not right. And I'm going to say that religion is the enemy of God. And here's what I want you to get across. If you're listening to somebody you think's the greatest saint in the world, and they're declaring a so-called truth that you can't find the Word of God, I'd be suspect. Now, I'm not saying people can't get confused and mixed up and that kind of thing. I understand that. But I'm telling you, if it's not in the Word of God, if there's not a precept or a principle to back up what's being said, you can be suspect of that. It might be right, but it might not be right. And I just want you to understand that. Here's what the serpent said. God lied. You shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. My. Gee, we see how he works. Now I want to just give you four or five little ways the devil works. Number one, he hides his identity. You never know it's the devil until you're in the middle of the fire. He's deceptive. He works through all those things we mentioned this morning. And all of a sudden, you're not even thinking about the devil. And then all of a sudden, you realize, hey, this is more than just life. This is a spiritual battle I'm in. He hides who he is and what he really wants to do. He really is trying to get you sidetracked. Number two, he tries to get you to doubt God's word, or at least view it in a light sense. View it lightly. Number three, he operates in half-truths. The devil's never going to come out and just tell you a bold out-and-out lie. He's going to put enough truth with it to try to deceive you. That's what the cults do. They have enough truth that if you don't know the Word of God, you're going to be led in there. That's how it is. That's just the way it is. And my, some truths are not easily understood. And so the devil operates in half truth. The devil will always give you a little truth mixed with his error. But can I tell you again, here we go. Here we go, preacher. You tell me the same old thing. If you put one drop of poison, if it's powerful enough, in a whole gallon of water, does that gallon of water purify that poison, or does that poison pollute the whole gallon of water? Well, you know the answer, don't you? Hey, if I don't know what the most powerful acid is, but I wouldn't want to put a dropper full of that acid in a gallon of water and take a chance on drinking it. I'm afraid it might kill me because it poisons the whole gallon. And even though there may be some true fire, if you put enough poison with it, a drop or two of poison, and it's powerful enough, it'll pollute it all. You better remember that. Half-truths are dangerous. They're extremely dangerous. And the devil loves it. Hath God said, ye shall, verse 1, and he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat? Well, God did say, ye shall not eat of something. He did say something about not eating. He did have part of it right, but he didn't have all of it right. Half truths. He attempts to alter the Word of God. He said every tree in verse number 1. It was only one tree God told them not. The devil always tried to alter the Word of God and use it against you. You've got to be wise. Here's what I'm saying. You've got to be wise. You have to have some knowledge. He denies God's Word to be true. He just denies it. Sometimes he'll just take a promise to the Lord. The Lord gives us, all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good in your life, but it says He'll work it together for good. If you're really following the Lord, He'll work that thing around and there'll be some good come out of it. Brother Miller told us about the deal with Micaiah, however you pronounce his, Brother Ruckman's son's name. And that's a bad thing, but God brought some good out of it. Which looked like He might bring some good out of it. God just has a way of doing that. And so the devil will cause you to focus on the negative and never see the good that the Lord's working out of it. My, he attempts to alter the Word of God. He denies God's Word to be true. And he attacks God's character. He'll eventually attack the character of God. God don't really care about you. Isn't that kindly what's being said here? Yeah, if God said you can't, you're not to eat of every tree of the garden. And verse 5, for God doth know that in your day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God just don't want you to be a god. Little G's. What are you? Hey, he just thought, you're not going to die. He just knows you're going to be as God, knowing good and evil. Isn't that how the devil works? He throws off on our God. Do you really believe God loves you so much that He won't do you wrong? You ever felt like God's done you wrong? I know, I don't want you to say yes, but in your heart, you would never verbalize it. You'd be too frightful to do that, afraid, but in your heart, you wonder why God didn't help you. Why God didn't reach down and do something in your life. But did you know God loves you too much to do you wrong? He's not going to do you wrong. Well, what about all these wrong things that come? He'll help you through it. Well, why would He make an earth and let all these evil things happen, these diseases that even happen to children. Hey, can I tell you, He didn't make earth like that. Man made it like that. You know who brought diseases and the curse on the earth? It wasn't God. It was man. God made a perfect earth. Had man held up to His end of the bargain, man, we'd have it made. I mean, we'd be living, to use an old worldly term, we'd be living high cotton. It's man that done all that. But see, a lot of times, God gets the blame. Well, if there's a God, why this? Because of man. Isn't that right? I mean, isn't that so? God didn't bring disease. Do you think Adam and Eve was fighting diseases and popping Tylenols and whatever else you take, antibiotics for colds and all that? No. No, they didn't have that problem. Not till after the fall. It was man that done that to us. We did it to ourselves. That's how it was. But God, the devil will blame God for it. God gets a credit for a lot of things He didn't do and He's not in. Just how it is. And so that's how the devil works. He attacks God's character. And so, and then here's something else I saw in this. Did you know the devil never said to Eve, don't you disobey God? The devil never said to Eve, eat the fruit. He just worked at her indirectly. He just kept suggesting. And he kept throwing off on God. And he kept, if I can use this phrase, building a case. But he never said, Eve, eat the fruit. He never said that. He just makes it look so appealing. You make that decision. You know why? He can't make you do anything. The devil can't make you do anything. He does not have that ability to do. And so he knows that. And so he's not going to be bossing around, but he's going to build such a case that you make that decision. Just remember that. He didn't tell Eve, hey, go ahead. I want you to eat the fruit now. He couldn't. She don't have to listen to him. You don't either. You don't have to. Well, I'm just showing you some things about the devil tonight. He appealed to the lust of the eye. Well, let's just read it. Verse 6. And when the woman saw the tree, she did what? When the woman, what's the next word? Saw. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Here's where the devil gets you, gets many of God's people. He gets them by putting something in front of their eyes that they can't take their eyes off of. Let me just caution you. Watch what you look at. Be careful about what you place your eyes on. Be careful about that. Be sure it's of God. She's looking at something that has been forbidden to her. And can I tell you, the flesh revels in the forbidden. The flesh revels in... Can I tell you a story that just knocks me down sometimes? And I've seen it more than one time. I know two individuals, and they lived together for several years. And they were shacking up, committing sin. And then they got married, and guess what happened? They got divorced. As long as it was sin, it worked out fine. But the minute they got married, they divorced. The flesh rebels in the forbidden. That's how it is. God says, don't do it. The flesh says, let's do it. That's how it is. You watch that. I've seen it multiple times down in my short lifetime. You need to understand, your flesh is the enemy of God. It hates God. Your flesh hates God. You say, I never hate God. Your flesh is it's the enemy of God. If you kick your flesh out of gear and just turn it loose, your flesh will go entirely against God. That's how it is. I don't care how godly you are. You've got a wicked, evil flesh to deal with to the day you die. Amen. Well, here we see that some little truths there. The devil never directly told Eve to eat. He only encouraged her to. He appealed first to the lust of the eye. Or to the, I guess we could say the lust of the flesh. The tree was good for food. That's how he's going to come. He's coming at your flesh because he knows your flesh is on his side. He can work through your flesh to get done what he wants done. But what did the Apostle Paul, I don't even know if I can find it. I can find it. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, maybe chapter 9. Here's what he said. But I keep under my body. Now, he's using some athletic terms there. And here's what he says. I keep under my body. What that means is, he pins his body down. If you study that, I take it to be a wrestling term. He pins his body down. He keeps it under his control. He keeps his body under. I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. Can I tell you what you have to do by the grace of God? Only through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells you can you conquer your flesh. And that doesn't mean it's a permanent victory. But only through the power of the Holy Spirit can you bring your flesh under and put it in subjection. Now let me read it. I'm afraid I might have misquoted it. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now you can't have victory through the... You do believe the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And if He indwells every believer, do you believe that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world? We do believe that. I hope you believe that. That's the Bible. All right. If He's greater in you than he that's in the world, can He not give us victory as we deal with this flesh we're carrying around? I understand we'll fail. I understand we'll come short. I understand there'll be weak moments. But I'm telling you, overall, we can have victory. That's why a drunkard, when he gets saved, he doesn't have to continue to be a drunkard. Or a drug addict. Or a womanizer. Or a cursing tongue. Or whatever it is. God can help us bring the body into subjection. But the devil appeals to that flesh. He works through the flesh. He works through the lust of the eye. You see it, you want it. You know, it comes back to James, over there in James again, that enticement. You see it. And it's sure it's going to pull you off the path. You're traveling for God, but you want it. I mean, it looks good. It appeals to you. He works through the lust of the flesh and lust of the eye. What do you have your eye on today? What is it you want? I mean, you've got your eye on it. Be careful. Be careful what you put your eyes on. That's all I'm trying to say to you. And then the pride of life. You appeal to the pride of life. Notice, let me get back to my text over here and give you these little truths. You can see them, Matthew 4, just as plain. Just the same little truths. It was pleasant to the eyes, Genesis 3 and 6, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. That's the pride of life. It's right there. My, here's what I'm trying to say to you. That's where the devil's coming after you at. Right now, they've been God's people that's yielded to the lust of the flesh. Their homes split up. Their families are wrecked. There's been God's people that's yielded to the lust of the eye. They wanted what somebody else had. They're so in debt, they can't even support missions. They're so their life's so in bondage to credit cards or whatever else it is, trying to have what the lust of the eye sees. They can't even serve God and give to God like they ought to and want to. That's the devil. That's how he works on you. Young married folks, that's how he's going to work on your life. The pride of life. Pride. God hates pride. I'm going to tell you, if you've got old fleshly pride in your life, God hates it. God hates it. You ought to humble yourself now. Can I tell you, God loves an humble heart. And y'all lay your pride aside. I'm really convinced that's why more people don't come to the altar, more people don't worship the Lord. Can I tell you what true worship will do to your flesh? It will humiliate your flesh. It will. It'll humiliate your flesh. Sometimes God puts it on you to make a laugh. How do you feel when you get through? How do you feel about it? It's almost, man, that's humiliating. You ever felt like that to you? You ever felt like trying to be obedient to the Spirit of God, you embarrassed yourself? Gets close to home, don't it? Some of us are too high society to really worship the Lord. We just think too much of ourselves. We're not gonna lower ourselves down. We're just not going to do it. And that's where we're at. The devil just blacked your eyes. What he's done, he's blacked your eye. And he's robbed you spiritually. And so the devil works through the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And then I want you to notice too in verse 6 that Adam is now on the scene. And he has eaten also. Now, there's a lot of thoughts on Adam. Many say Eve was deceived in sinning and Adam sinned willfully. I believe that's so. I read a book sometime back on by Dr. D. Hahn on portraits of Christ in Genesis. He said Adam ate the fruit because he loved Eve so much. Whatever she was going to go through, he wanted to go through it with her. It was because of his love, and he typed that to a picture of Christ taking our sins upon Him so we could be with Him. And I do believe that's so. I do believe that to be so. I believe that's why Adam ate. He willfully sinned against God because of his love for Eve. Eve come from his side, the church come from Jesus' side. And I know y'all have heard that. I know y'all have maybe even studied that before, but at least have heard that. And so here's Adam, and because of what Eve did, it affected Adam's life. Isn't that what sin does? Isn't that the way sin does? What you do has an effect on those. Many of us parents, the sins of our children have affected our lives. Isn't that so? It's caused us great heartache, great grief, sleepless night, whatever it is. But it has affected our lives. Many times sin's affected the spouse's life and the children's life. And you can only hear some of the stories of the drunkard. A lot of folks say the sin's drunkenness and drinking's not a sin. But I want to ask you, what's the fruit of drinking? If the fruit is unholy, so is the root. My grandmother used to say it's the devil's brew. I believe that to be so. I believe that. It's a stepping stone. And the Bible says, whosoever's deceived thereby is not wise. Who's deceived? The fellow that takes the first drink. Just the way I feel about it. That's just how it is. And many things started with drink. You know what goes with drink? Immorality. Isn't that right? Fighting, brawling, drunkenness, tongue, sins of the tongue, cursing, and on we could go. Here's all I'm saying. Our sins affect other people. And you can't deny that. You can't deny it. I think Adam sinned because of his love for Eve. Adam's sin was willful. Eve was deceived into sin. Let's just look on and see what they said. What was the fruit? Well, I've already come to my time tonight. What was the fruit of their sins? I mean, what happened in their life because of their sin? What was it? Can I just share a few things? It caused them to lose their innocence. No longer innocent now. No longer right with God. No longer right with God. Can I tell you what it caused them to do? It caused them to try to hide their sins. There's the fig leaves. They're sowing fig leaves. Instead of going to God and saying, "Hey, Father, I've sinned. I've done a horrible sin." No, they tried to hide it. They sowed fig leaves, thinking that was going to hide their sin. My, can I tell you what sin will cause you to do? It'll cause you to hide and try to live a lie. That's what it'll do for you if you're not careful. They realized they were naked. You know, it amazes me. They did have enough sense to try to cover up their nakedness. You know what God's people to do today? They uncover their nakedness. They reveal their nakedness. Here's some folks in rebellion against God, and even in their rebellion, they had enough common sense or God about them or whatever I need to say. They tried to cover up their nakedness. And now people go to the beaches and uncover themselves, and they run around in colored underwear and call it a bikini, but it don't even measure up to ladies' underwear, don't guess. I mean, You wouldn't even go to the door. Ladies, you wouldn't even go to the door in your underwear, but you'd go out on the beach in a bikini, which reveals far more than your underwear does. Well, that's pretty plain talk, but is that not so? I mean, it's just where we're at today. But not them. At least they had enough something to try to cover up. They tried to cover up this sin. My, we have to be careful. We have to be careful when we sin. It caused them to hide from the Lord. It caused them to fear the Lord. There's a lot of folks that are fearful. They would not try to touch heaven because they're afraid. They're fearful what God would say to them. Fearful of it. My, how sad. And then it caused them to attempt to blame others. Eve said, Adam said, my wife gave it to me. Eve gave it to me. And Eve said, the serpent beguiled me. Everybody blaming everybody else. Can I tell you, when you sin, it's you. It's you. Can't blame anybody else. It's you. And you might as well accept it and say, hey, I'm just guilty, and God, would you forgive me? Here's what I hope. Here's what I hope out of our little lesson tonight. I hope we've got a little bit better picture of how the devil tempts us. I hope we do. I hope you have just a little bit better awareness. And it's coming. Let me just tell you, it's coming. Now, you've got the Holy Spirit inside that will help and give you victory if you allow Him to. But the devil will tempt you. He'll try to get you so angry you'll curse. He'll try to get you so frustrated you won't even try to live for the Lord. He'll try to tell you you're too tired to go to church. Hey, do you know when you want to stay home the most is probably when you need to go the most? It's just how the devil loves it when he talks you out of coming to church, because you can get some help there. That's just how it is. Here's what I'm saying. You've got an adversary. He's after tearing your home up. He's after stealing your children, seeing them cast into hell. He's after causing you to live a wasted, fruitless life for the glory of God. And if he can do it, he's going to laugh at you and make a mock of you. It's just how it is. That's how it is. And he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's my little message tonight. And my, there's so many other truths you can glean from that. I just sat down and just wrote down what the Holy Spirit gave me. Take that home with you. Think on it. Add Matthew 4 to it. Study Matthew 4. Study 2 Corinthians. Was it chapter 2, verse 11, where they were trying to be divisions over this fellow who they were supposed to forgive and wouldn't? And study just some of the ways the devil works and operates through the Word of God. It'll help you. You need to know your adversary. You need to know him tonight. Can I tell you, somewhere the devil's coming in the Ridgeview Baptist Church. In fact, he may have already been here and lulled you into lukewarmness. You may have bought the enticement for lukewarmness. You'd be lukewarm, still have everything else the world offers. You may like that. That may appeal to you. You look at that and say, hey, that's what I want. I want what everybody else. I want what religion has. And so you bought it. I don't know. I'm telling you, he's coming to this church. He's coming to your home. He's coming to your children. He's coming to your life. And you can take it lightly. But I'm promising you, his goal is to destroy. That's his goal, not to build you up. He is your enemy. He hates you. And his goal is to destroy. Whether it's your home, your family, your finances, your health, whatever it is, his goal is to destroy. How about tonight? Let's bow our heads. One verse of a song, Brother Allen, you and Sister King. And I don't know, maybe we don't need a invitation tonight, but maybe we do. Maybe there's somebody. I know some of you's already been to the altar. And I appreciate that. Maybe there's some that needs to. Maybe your pride kept you from it. If you did, then till you get past it, you're gonna live defeated. Brother Allen, you sing when you get it. You need to pray, you do so tonight.